RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Tuesday morning means Tim Wilms with the Wilms Report from the unshackled.net in Melbourne. I won't ask you about the weather this time, Tim, because we want to keep all the time we have to hearing what's been happening over the last few weeks, because we didn't have your report last Tuesday in Australia. Nice to have you back, Tim.
Thank you, Paul. Good to be back. And it's AFL Grand Final week here in Melbourne. It is the Sydney Swans versus my team, the Brisbane Lions, Saturday afternoon at the MCG. Now, my team, the Brisbane Lions, we've made some stunning comebacks in the finals, but I've made sure that I tune into the game a minute after it starts, so I don't have to subject myself to the welcome to countries, because in the AFL finals, throughout all the 4 weeks of finals, they have a welcome to country from a local elder, uncle, auntie, whatever they're called.
What's the format for that? Is it just like a brief kind of thing before everything kicks off? Is that how it's presented?
That's what it's supposed to be. So down in Melbourne at the MCG, they have Uncle Colin Hunter Jr. So he keeps it quite succinct. So he's what you call a professional. I still groan when I'm forced to see him. He even did the Welcome to Country at the Brownlow Medal last night at Crown Casino, which the Aborigines didn't build, the Packer family built.
Yeah.
So he at least keeps it succinct. Obviously, he gets a good payday with all the finals being played in Melbourne. But up at the GWS Giants versus Brisbane Lions semi-final at Sydney Showgrounds Stadium, they got Brendan Kieran, a cultural educator with Sydney's Metropolitan Local Aboriginal Land Council. And he said that a welcome to country is not a welcome to Australia. Within Australia, we have many Aboriginal lands. We refer to our lands. So it's a welcome to country to the lands that you've gathered on. A welcome to country is not a ceremony we invented to cater for white people. It's a ceremony we've been doing for 250,000 years plus BC. And the BC stands for before Cook, and he said, BC, you could get into a lot of trouble for going onto someone else's land without being welcomed onto it.
250,000 years? Wow.
Yeah, it keeps getting larger. So it used to be 60,000 years.
Well, I thought the first humans only showed up at about 120,000 years ago, so I don't know how they worked that one out. Maybe I've missed something.
You can add in some historical add to history, and you certainly won't be fact-checked by much of the mainstream media.
You can add another 300 or so years on, you know, after Cook for that. So, all right, okay. Yeah, how did that go down, that one?
Well, the crowd, they were quite bemused. They certainly didn't. Sam Newman, who's ex-AFL player and who's been a media commentator for 40 years, suggested at last year at the AFL Grand Final, people boo the Welcome to Country, which I certainly think after that Welcome to Country, the crowd
It wasn't really a welcome, was it? It wasn't a Welcome to Country as such.
Yeah, and there was an ex-Aboriginal player, Matthew Stokes, wrote an op-ed in The Age saying that, look, we need the Welcome to Country to be actually welcoming, because we'll get too much criticism otherwise from the actual racist people who want to abolish the Welcome to Country, like it at all. So in the federal Senate, both Pauline Hanson and Alex Antic, Liberal senator, made speeches calling for the Welcome to Country to be abolished. So there's some who recognise that this sort of Welcome to Country rubbed people up the wrong way. So they're trying to save it before the opportunists call for its abolition.
Seems to be a lot of defamation cases going about. What's the latest update on the Moira deeming John Pesciuto defamation case, Tim?
Yes, that's the other contest that's occurring in Melbourne this week, apart from the AFL Grand Final. So it's week two in the Federal Court in Melbourne. So it's actually live streamed on the Federal Court's YouTube channel, being heard by Justice John O'Callaghan. He's quite an elderly judge. I think he's actually close to about 80. Now, it's important that in case anyone of your listeners wants to tune in, because it'll be on today as well, that even though it's streamed to the internet, you can't republish anything from it, audio, visual, screenshots, otherwise that's contempt of court. It is still good we have this open justice where, because this is a case in the public interest, and of course it all stemmed from the infamous Let Women Speak event in Melbourne on the 18th of March 2023, which I attended and documented. So it was part of Kelly G. Keene's national tour. And Moira Deeming, who was a Liberal MLC at the time until John Pesciuto expelled her from the parliamentary Liberal Party on the second attempt for security reasons, she allowed Kelly J. Keene to be able to take the stage in front of Parliament House by accessing the parliamentary precinct, because of course Trans Tifa and their associated Antifa socialist thug groups were all there to counter protest. But it was of course infamously gatecrashed by the National Socialist Network. And I'll just quickly rehash what happened that day. Some of my vlog was actually played in the Federal Court. It was actually Thomas Sewell, who was leading the National Socialist Network at the time, his speech from the steps of the Victorian Parliament, and then they performed the Nazi salute, which wasn't illegal then. So they approached from the northern side of the Parliament, near where that theatre is, and they're originally blocked from Victoria Police. I was pushed back by them for attempting to get a closer shot. But then it seemed that Victoria Police changed their mind and allowed them to gather on the steps, unfurl their Destroy Pedo Freaks banner. Thomas Sewell made his speech. They performed the Nazi salute, and then they left by walking in front of the Trans Tifa protesters performing the Nazi salute, and then they headed south towards where the Treasury Gardens. What I could tell at the time is that it seemed like the Let Women Speak, they were just carrying on like there wasn't happening. I was sort of assuming they might know that the Nazis were literally right next to them, but it's like, let's just keep to what we're doing here. Let's let not anyone disrupt this. So that's what happened at the actual event. So then later that night, Kelly J. Keene did a live stream with Moira Deeming, Catherine Deaves, who's a ex-Liberal candidate, and Angie Jones, host of Turf Talk, where they thought that the Men in Black is also what they were referred to, thought that there were maybe Victoria Police paid actors, which, and there's a lot of conservatives who've claimed this, but this is not true at all. One of the things they claim that they were Victoria Police actors is because one of the Nazis, Nathan Bull, is the son of a Victoria Police officer. And I saw Kelly J. Keene just this weekend repost that conspiracy theory. And that was also because what's been played in the Federal Court is a recording of when John Pesciuto, his deputy David Southwick, and the Upper House leader Georgie Crozier ambushed Moira Deeming the next day, calling her into a meeting where, well, they first said, oh, let's hear your version of events. And then John Pesciuto began to go through the dossier, which he later published in his campaign to expel Moira Deeming. So he did also a whole bunch of press conferences and radio interviews. So Moira Deeming's legal team have claimed that they carry 67 defamatory imputations that smear Moira Deeming, accusing her of supporting white supremacists and neo-Nazis. So Deeming's barrister, Sue Krinathethu, SC, said in court that Prosciutto tarred her with a Nazi brush in a campaign of destruction against her. Prosciutto's barrister is Dr. Matthew Collins, AMKC. So Prosciutto's legal defence is he was expressing an honest opinion, contextual truth, public interest defence, and also claims that Moira Deeming herself caused damage to her own reputation by making false assertions that she'd been branded a Nazi. So earlier this year, John Prosciutto settled with Angie Jones and Kelly J. Peen. So the first week, there was several days of cross-examining Moira Deeming by Prosciutto's lawyer. And the main strategy of defamation lawyers, and they are good at what they do, is to basically discredit the witness by portraying them as deceptive, evasive, and basically trying to trip them up. So he tried to paint Moira Deeming. She already had extreme views. She didn't do her due diligence about what Kelly J. Keene had posted online or who had attended other Let Women Speak events. So the cross-examination of all of the people who have made affidavits in support of Moira Deeming, that's concluded now. And so it's now John Prosciutto and his supporters who will now be cross-examined by Moira Deeming's team. So a lot of it will hinge on John Prosciutto's cross-examination because, well, he's the leader and he's a lawyer himself. The thing is, though, the polls at the moment actually have him as preferred premier, albeit by one percentage point, and they're equal on a two-party preferred basis. So fast forward 18 months, and Prosciutto's not actually doing too badly in the polls, but if he loses this, well, he's finished.
Wow. And Kelly J. Keene coming back, is she?
Yes, she is going to come to CPAC Australia, which is in Brisbane on the weekend of the 5th and 6th of October. So Kelly J. Keene announced on one of her live streams earlier this week that she was coming back to Australia, though you wonder if the new immigration minister, Tony Burke, will deny her a visa, given that, well, he's already indicated that he's going to block Candace Owens coming to Australia.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sure that a lot of your viewers saw that Kelly J. Keene was attacked with a can of tomato soup again at Let Women Speak in Sheffield in England. A copycat of that intersex individual who at Auckland poured tomato soup over Kelly J. Keene, and that well, it was basically like a bang mob just surrounded that pavilion. And yep. I wonder if it was part of Kelly J. Keene's claim against John Prosciutto that his statements contributed to the incitement of that mob.
Yeah, either that or a very quick transmission of mental illness. All right. Mark Latham also fighting a defamation case. In fact, he's lost it, hasn't he?
Yes. So Mark Latham, who used, well, he's still a MLC in New South Wales, though no longer with Pauline Hanson's One Nation. So he was sued by the independent member for Sydney, Alex Greenwich, for defamation over, well, a tweet reply, which I can't actually repeat the tweet because, well, it's been found to be defamatory.
Yep.
So Alex Greenwich said that Mark Latham was a disgusting human being, and Mark Latham replied, "Disgusting, this is what sexual acts you engage in. And so it's actually the the same justice, David O'Callaghan. So this was heard in May, June earlier this year. So Mark Latham has to pay Alex Greenwich $140,000 in damages for the first imputation relating to the tweet being that Mr. Greenwich engaged in disgusting sexual activities. However, the judge did not agree that the tweet also implied Greenwich was not a fit and proper person to be a member of New South Wales Parliament, and did not agree that quotes published in a Daily Telegraph article implied that the politician was a disgusting human being who goes into school to groom children to become homosexual. So the only thing that was found to be defamatory is that Mark Latham thought that he engaged in disgusting sexual acts, which is, you can't change a sexual preference, which is basically what Mark Latham was basically saying.
Well, people are free to be disgusted, aren't they, about anything, you'd think.
I thought so. Would a homosexual ever be taken to court for finding heterosexual relations disgusting?
I think we know the answer to that. Okay, let's get on to the anti-free speech laws. We've been talking about it quite a bit here. Where are they right now? I think doxing is in there. Dead naming, these are terms we're starting to understand. Well, dead naming anyway, knew what doxing was.
Well, this seems to be the theme of this omnibus. There's three different pieces of anti-free speech legislation that have been introduced by the Albanese government. So there's the refined combating disinformation bill, where the communications minister, Michelle Rowland, says that, well, we've listen to the feedback. But so this basically empowers ACMA, our Communications and Media Authority, to have a set of graduated powers to force social media companies to have a compulsory code for them to take down misinformation, which has the effect of serious harm to the operation of elections or referendum processes. Remember the Voice referendum? They claimed that misinformation is why the Voice was defeated. Harm to public health in Australia, including to the efficiency of preventative health measures. So masks, which I remember that satirist by the name of Senator Taken the Piss had a meme taken down of Dan Andrews in a mask saying, this mask is as useless as my policies. Oh, so that was taken down by the Home Affairs Department. So if there's another pandemic, bird flu, whatever it's going to be, there's extra powers in there for misinformation. Well, what's deemed to be misinformation, we now know it was all true.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, and a vilification to a group in Australian society distinguished by race, religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, intersex status, disability, nationality, or national ethnic origin, or vilification of individual because of a belief that the individual is a member of such group, imminent harm to the Australian economy, including
we heard about that, the financial system, yep.
Yeah, so, yeah, don't be saying that Jim Chalmers, the treasurer, is not managing the economy well. The threshold for this serious harm is has significant and far-reaching consequences for the Australian community or a segment of the Australian community, or has severe consequences for an individual in Australia. So I think your audience listening knows how these disinformation laws are going to be used. And the mainstream media and the political parties are exempt from this because, well, politicians, they're allowed to lie in their election campaigning, and mainstream media, they're already covered by the broadcasting standards. So that's why
That's dark days ahead there, Tim. What has Pauline Hanson been trying to do about it?
So Pauline Hanson, she attempted, while all of this anti-free speech omnibus bills were being forced in the parliament. So the week before, she attempted to introduce the Sex Discrimination Amendment Acknowledging Biological Reality Bill to restore definitions of biological sex. How can you have a Sex Discrimination Act which doesn't actually define sex? That was, of course, removed by our first female Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, her legacy. So this was voted down at the first reading, which, when there's private members' bills, they're at least given the courtesy of a first reading. There's the second reading, then the committee stage, and then there's the final third reading, where there's the vote. Is it similar in New Zealand, how it all works?
Yeah, pretty well is, yep.
Yeah, so it was voted down at the first reading by Labor, the Greens, David Pocock, the TL Independent. And so Pauline Hanson tried again last week to suspend standing orders to have the bill considered again. The Minister for Women in the Albanese government, Katie Gallagher, again, how can you be the Minister for Women if you can't even decide on what a woman is, said that debating this bill would harm people and children. So the irony of her saying this, and the nerve of her saying that, consider this bill, that's where the harm is, not the harm that the consequences of the act that we passed is actually caused. Because, of course, we had Tickle versus Giggle, where, of course, it wasn't a defamation case, it was an anti-discrimination case. So Sal Grover having to pay damages to Roxanne Tickle for
Big hairy man. Yep.
Admission to the Giggle app. And also the Queensland Premier, Stephen Giggles Miles, he also can't define what a woman is, even though he calls himself the defender of women's rights. He released some cringe social media video with himself, with his female ministers, and Sal Grover replied to him saying that if you're serious about protecting women, why don't you actually protect biological women in law in Queensland? And she was blocked by him. I think that case, you'd call that Giggles versus Giggle.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. Yeah, no, nice one. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's also passed an omnibus anti-free speech law as well. And I've mentioned to your audience before Queensland it's been discovered as the most anti-free speech state because, well, Lyle Shelton for years been dragged through the Queensland Human Rights Commission, accused of vilifying these two drag queens who were reading drag queen story time. Dave Pello has been dragged before for doing a Christian welcome to country, not an Aboriginal welcome to country. And now there's the Queensland state election on October 26th. So Stephen Giggles Miles is basically trying to secure as much of a legacy as a far left Marxist as he can. So it was the Queensland Respect at Work and Other Matters Amendment Bill. And this includes amending the Criminal Code, which implements the Building Belonging Report and Inquiry into Serious Vilification and Hate Crimes Committee Report. So this updates and expands the list of protected attributes for civil and criminal vilification. So for serious unlawful vilification, you can go to jail in Queensland for 3 years. So,
oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, so it's been expanded to include sex, age, and impairment, in addition to existing attributes of race, religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics. So I think maybe at CPAC, there might be some Queensland Stasi informant looking for some vilification that can be used against one of the speakers or multiple speakers there.
All right, Tim, great to catch up again. And rather than a 2-week break, we'll talk to you in a week from now again, okay?
Thank you, Paul.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.